You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so as we begin this new year, we're starting a seven-week series that is going to lead us right up to the season of Lent. And so throughout these next 7 weeks, we're going to be really focused in on the parables of Jesus. Parables are short stories that Jesus uses to teach us. Now often, we can make those parables about us. But what we'll see over these next 7 weeks is that Jesus uses these parables to teach about him and to teach about his kingdom. And so as we do that, there are a few guardrails that I am going to be using to keep us focused on Jesus throughout these parables. Just five quick ones. First of all, that parables reveal what the kingdom of God is like. That God's reign is about Jesus and his saving work and his promises. And so as we see that it's about his kingdom, we see that second, that Jesus is the focus, that the king is first. The point of these parables is about what the king is doing. Third, these are not moral lessons. Right? The parables are not simply about how we can be better people or live a better life. Right? These aren't Aesop's fables that have some moral at the end of the story, but these are, again, showing how God works in his kingdom. Fourth, the context matters. Right? Who is Jesus talking to? Is he answering a question or not? What's going on around the text? Why is he telling this parable? Right? Those are important things to know. And then finally, all of that leads to recognizing that there's one main point. And so we need to find that main point that's about Jesus and his kingdom, and then let that drive everything else. So if you remember one thing from these next 7 weeks, I hope that it is that parables are about Jesus and his kingdom, not me. And today we get to see what that looks like through the parable of the sower. And so Jesus told them many things in parables. Now, who's the them? Right? Context. So the them is these people who have gathered to hear Jesus preach and teach. He's done all of these miracles. They were in a crammed house where they were trying to hear him preach, and so he moves out to the Sea of Galilee, and they follow him, and they're gathering around him, and so he gets on a boat and gets a little further away so that he can teach them a number of different things. And he starts out, and this is the first time that Matthew uses the word parable. In his gospel. And so he starts out the first time that we're hearing about these parables. Jesus says, a sower went out to sow. Already we see Jesus, again, the first time that Matthew uses the word parable, saying that this parable is about the sower, not necessarily the soil. We're going to see what the soil has to do with it, but it's about the sower who went out to sow. And as he sowed, so think about this through the eyes of the sower. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So if you heard that text through the focus of the kingdom of God and through the sower, what do you notice about the sower? Well, what I notice is I notice the sower's extravagant generosity. He doesn't ration his seed. He doesn't wait for ideal conditions and only plant his seed in some certain places, but he scatters it broadly, freely, and generously. And it goes everywhere. It goes on the road, it goes on the rocky path, it goes in the thorn bush, and it goes to the good soil. And so what we see is that the quality of the soil does not determine whether seed is given. To do a little bit more context, Jesus is talking to farming community. They know how to farm. So I think if you are a farmer, if you know a farmer, or if you have any common sense, Jesus is not teaching people how to farm. Right? He would be a really bad teacher if he were teaching people how to farm. Because as farmers, you don't just throw seed everywhere and hope. What Jesus is saying is that this is what the king is like. That Jesus, the king of his kingdom, is extravagantly generous with his word of life and salvation, his word of forgiveness, his word of love, his word of comfort. The king is extravagantly generous with it, and he keeps on giving it, even when it will be rejected. Because the king wants all people to hear. He wants all people to receive that word and to live. And so we see that Jesus is the sower who sows in his kingdom. And the seed is the word of God, the word of life and salvation and forgiveness. So what then about the soil? Well, in this parable, Jesus explains what happens to his word in a broken world. Jesus diagnoses the issues that sin causes, that the evil one causes in this broken world. He lets us know that the enemy is real and active, and his desire is to pull the word of God away from you. And sometimes he does that immediately, and other times he does that slowly. But Jesus gives us four different pictures of what it looks like with his word, when his word is scattered in a broken world. First, we see how the word can be snatched away. Right? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what's sown along the path. Right? That the evil one would steal that word away before it ever sinks in. He also shows us what happens when the word is scorched. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately it falls away. Our joy is real when that word sinks into our hearts, but for some, the troubles of this world hit and that faith is scorched. Jesus also talks about what it looks like when the word is choked out, that as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of the riches of this world choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Right? So these cares and these riches of the world, they don't just distract us from God, they can strangle faith. And then Jesus tells us what happens when that word is sown on good soil. Right? This is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. And so it should seem obvious as we hear this parable, you and I should want to be the good soil. We should want to be the ones who will hear the word of God and receive it and understand it and then bear fruit. And one of the ways that the Spirit works in us is by cultivating that soil in us. Right? Because Jesus doesn't say, well, here's how you become good fruit, or here's how you become good soil. Because you and I can't become good soil on our own. We can't make ourselves be not the path or be not the rocky soil. We can't make ourselves be good soil, but it's the Spirit who works in us, who cultivates the soil in our lives. And one of the ways he does that is by giving gifts that you and I don't deserve, giving gifts that you and I don't earn, giving gifts that we don't create and sometimes don't even understand. And we just got to see what that looks like a little bit ago. in baptism. Right? Baptism is not my work for God. Baptism is not your work for God. It wasn't Hattie's work for God. But baptism is God's work for Hattie. God's work for you. God's work for me. To give you another picture of that, and maybe another parable, if you will, maybe something you might be able to relate to a little differently. When I was born, I was given a gift. I was given my blankie. Some of you might have that blankie or that stuffy or that thing that is the thing that goes with you everywhere. Or maybe your kids or grandkids had one of those. This was my blankie. Now, I didn't ask for that blankie. I didn't choose that blankie. I didn't even understand what that was, other than it was something that had to go with me everywhere, even in the bottom of my sleeping bag when I went to camp, so that I had my blankie with me. I didn't ask for it. Didn't understand it. I didn't even open the gift. And I was a baby. My parents opened it for me. It was a gift from my great-grandma Nellie, my mom's grandma. And so if I didn't ask for it, if I didn't choose it, if I didn't understand it, if I didn't even open it, whose blankie was that? This is where you can actually answer the question. Whose blankie was that? It was mine, right? Now, later in life, I learned that it was a gift that had been given to me by my great-grandma Nellie. But when I learned that, I didn't have to like go to her and re-accept that gift or accept it as my own. It had always been mine. But now I knew who I could go to thank for that gift. And at any point, I could have decided that I didn't need that gift anymore. I could have decided that I didn't want that gift anymore, that I was too cool to carry a blankie with me anywhere. And at one point I did decide that. My mom said I was 8. I think I was 12. I'll go with 8 because it makes me sound cooler. But one morning my mom walked out of her room and laying at the foot of the door was my blankie. So I decided I didn't need it anymore. I didn't need that gift. But thanks be to God, my mom kept it. And here's my blankie today. I went and got it from her yesterday. Looks a little different. It's gone through the trials of life. But that gift is mine still today. Right? In the parable of the sower, we get to see God's extravagant generosity, where he gives the word of forgiveness, the word of salvation, as a gift before you and I could ever understand it, before we could even recognize it as a gift. Hattie doesn't understand what just happened to her today. She won't remember what just happened to her today. But that gift that God gave her through the waters of baptism is hers. It is hers, and it is the Spirit who then cultivated that soil in her life to allow that word to take root, that she might bear fruit throughout her life. Now we see the Apostle Paul talking about that as it's not about us and about what we do, but it's about what God does. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and they're kind of debating on, well, whose apostle am I? Am I an apostle of Paul? Am I an apostle of Paulus? Am I an apostle of Jesus? And Paul says, well, I may have planted the seed, and Apollos may have watered the seed, but it is God who gives the growth. It is God who cultivates the soil in our lives so that we might be able to hear his word and understand it. And so as we desire to be good soil, it's not me trying to make myself good soil. Right? It's not you trying to grow good fruit in your life, but instead it's trusting in the one who cultivates our soil, trusting in the one who gives the growth. And it's here that we see that extravagant generosity of Jesus. Because not only does Jesus cultivate the soil in your life, cultivate the faith in you to grow fruit in you, but even when someone walks away, even when the evil one is working hard to snatch faith out of our lives or to scorch that faith or to choke that faith out, Jesus is still extravagantly generous in continuing to share his word, to sow his word of life, of salvation, of forgiveness, of love in our lives, and to call people back to himself. Today again, Jesus has sown that word to you and to me. And he is not one who is stingy with his gifts. And so when you're anxious, maybe you heard that and you're like, am I good enough? Am I good enough soil to be what Jesus wants me to be? When you're anxious, he speaks a word of comfort to you, where he says, I am still working in you, still sowing my seed of love and forgiveness in you. And when you're drifting, when the cares of this world start to not do more than just get in the way of your connection to Jesus, but start to pull you away from that connection to Jesus, he's still extravagantly generous as he calls you back to him, that he might again share that word of forgiveness and love to you. And through it all, we are reminded that it is God who gives the growth. God who gives the gifts before we could ever understand them. God who keeps on giving even when life is hard, even when faith feels weak. And as people then who are called to learn, love, and lead, what are we called to do? We learn, love, lead to reflect the light of Jesus. As people who are called to reflect the light of Jesus, we are shaped by the King's extravagant generosity. And we get to reflect that into this world. We get to be extremely generous, extravagantly generous with his word of life and salvation and love. Not deciding who we think is good enough soil, or not judging the outcome of his word based on what we see, but simply sowing his word, trusting that God will give the growth, and knowing that Jesus is still extravagantly generous with his word of salvation and forgiveness to you and me, and through you and me, today and every day. Amen?